Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we thank you for another opportunity in the house of the Lord and for the word of the Lord. As we stand in the message of the Lord this morning, glorify yourself and let us be doers of the word and not just hearers only. We give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. And everybody says, Amen. Praise the Lord. Before I get started, I want to say that this Friday, by the grace of God, is going to be our Shadows of the End series meeting. So you want to be here. And it's also our fasting weekend for the month. So that's Friday, Saturday, and Sunday for the fasting. We will be here by the grace of God at 7 p.m. on Friday. And you want to hear what the Lord is doing in the end of time to get ourselves prepared for the coming of the Lord. And I want to encourage everybody to come out to these services. Every service that we have, there is a substance that the Lord is putting in the people in getting you ready for the coming of the Lord. So you want to be here. That's this Friday. You're going to be hearing a prophetic implication of the times. And you get yourself, you know, closer and ready for the coming of the Lord. Now, this morning, everybody say, praise the Lord. Come on, say it again. That sounds good. Praise the Lord. Now, I'm going to be talking this morning about a subject that's very important. You know, we preach on faith and power and miracles all the time and so forth. But today, I'm going to do something a little different. So this morning, we're talking on church outside the box. Now, that's church outside the box, an attitude adjustment. So this is going to be important, you know, as we enter this new phase of our ministry. I want everybody to pay attention, because you have to go back a few months and listen to some of the messages, particularly the message called the third pull and the last call. So we are getting ready with something significant that God is going to do. And that's the reason why God has provisioned this new center for the vision that he has given us for Phoenix. Our new Phoenix Impact Center will be opening, as you have heard, in December by the grace of God. Can you say amen? Amen. Well, you just heard the name of it. That's what it's going to be. It's going to be a Phoenix Impact Center. And by the grace of God, you know, we are expecting that the Lord will bring the people. It's going to be more than just church. It's going to be actually a community center where it will be open 7 days a week, and people can come in, you know, all day, you know, I mean, all 7 days of the week, and something is going on, you know, and they're coming in, then they'll find out that there's church there as well. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we'll be talking about, I want to talk about that for a little bit this morning, just so that you can help us. And as we go towards that time, every opportunity I get, I'm going to try to bring some information to people on how to get you trained and prepared, you know, to handle what we are going to be doing. You know, there is something tremendously important that we are moving into. I want to remind us this morning of the vision that God has given us. I'm going to be talking about that a little bit, and then we'll talk about some other things. You know, so the first thing I want to do, though, is let us know that, you know, God didn't call us, save us just for us to come to church. And then that's all we do. We just come to church. I mean, we need to be a witness. Praise the Lord. Jesus said, go ye into all the world and teach this gospel to everybody. You know, and then he gave us some other things that will follow when we do that. So turn with me to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. And I am going to read verses 12 and 13. Now remember, the topic is church outside the box, an attitude adjustment. Hebrews 13 and 12. Wherefore Jesus, also that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. That means outside the camp.
Let us
therefore go forth unto him without the camp, that means outside our comfort zone, bearing his reproach. Now, this may be a little strange scripture to some, but I'm going to explain it by the grace of God. The first question that I want to ask us today is, are we willing to bear his reproach? In other words, you know, are we able and willing to get out of our comfort zone and be a witness for Christ? Now, before you answer that question, if you say yes, then Jesus will say to you, well, yes, you will. And that's what you should do. If you say no, well, you have to re-examine yourself why you said no. Because we're supposed to be his witnesses. Amen? Amen? Amen. So let me ask the question again. Are you willing and are you able to bear his reproach? And what is the reproach of the Lord? Well, that means, you know, you might be scorned at, laughed at, ridiculed, whatever, and so forth like that, for the sake of the name of the Lord. Are you willing to do that? Bible says, thy people shall be ready and willing in the day of thy power. Amen. So, that's the first question. Now, but sometimes we have to do that outside of our comfort zone. You know, here at church is our comfort zone. You know, if I stand up here with the mic, you know, and I talk about the name of Christ, well, you know, everybody understands that being a pastor, I'm here, I'm going to talk about the name of Christ. You know, so there is no, you know, there is no worry about that. I can get up and talk about the name of Christ, talk about the Lord, talk about the things we stand for and the things we stand against, because this is the church. But what about when I go outside this church? What about when I go outside these four walls? What happens Monday to Saturday when I'm not at church? What happens on the job? What happens at school? What happens when you're out with your friends and so forth? What happens when people bring up topics, contemporary issues that are going on around the world? What are you going to do? What are you going to say? And what is going to be your answer? What is going to be your answer when people talk about things, you know, that are contrary to the things that are of for sound doctrine, according to the word of God? What are you going to be your answer? Or are you just going to be silent, or just going to not say anything and so forth? You know, so, we, you know, we want to condition our minds for various things. That's one aspect of this message, but there's one more very important aspect that I'll be talking about shortly. When I talk about an attitude adjustment, well, what does that mean? Well, what I'm saying is that, you know, many times the church has a wrong attitude towards people that are not in the light. So we need an attitude adjustment. And I'm going to give some examples. I'm going to show some scriptures. And then we're going to come right down to it. And let's hear what the Lord is going to tell us here this morning. So you need to pay attention this morning, because this is very important. So talking about an attitude adjustment, let's first of all talk about the wrong attitude. Now, just to help you get your mindset on this message, we're talking about church outside of the box. Now, the box means, you know, the way that everybody expects things to be. That's what I mean by the box. You know, everybody expects it to be a certain way, or, you know, outside the four walls. I mean, inside the four walls and so forth like that. You know, so that's the way that our minds are conditioned. You know, but we want to talk about, you know, what God is really looking for. So, I am going to be talking about the wrong attitude and the right attitude, you know, and how to really impact lives for Christ. Now, before we do that, though, let me talk about the church for a little bit. The church of God. You can read about it in the book of Hebrews. It says, calls it the general assembly of the firstborn. It is more than just a building, like this building that we are in now. Of course, you know, the church is also a building, but it's not this kind of building that has brick, mortar, wood, or glass. Why is it a building? Because Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against thee. How many of you can say amen? So that makes it a building. Also, Apostle Paul in the book of Ephesians says, we are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. So that makes it also a building. And also, when he came. Now, this is a paradox of God. When Jesus came, he came as people thought that he was a carpenter's son. We know he was not Joseph's son, but he lived in that household and so forth, grew up in that household. So everybody says, is this not the carpenter's son? You know, so, you know, yeah, you know, he was used when he was a little kid, used to building things and so forth, you know, around the carpenter's shop and all of that. You know, I don't know, maybe he built some things and so on, you know, but, you know, so when he started to talk about building my church, well, I guess people are looking for some kind of building, crafting and so forth, because, he, you know, he was a carpenter, kind of like grew up in a carpenter's house. So people are talking, thinking of he's going to craft something, build something and so forth. Well, yes, he was building something, but not with brick and mortar, and not with wood, and all these things that we see. He was building something with the souls of men. Hallelujah. So the building that God is building and putting together is a superstructure that has Jesus Christ as a chief cornerstone. And it has lively stones. Every one of you that have received the Lord Jesus Christ and filled with the Spirit of God, you are lively stones in that building. And the Bible said, upon one stone shall be seven eyes. In fact, the seven anointings of God will rest upon every one stone in that building by the time it is finished. Amen. And then he will present it to himself. That's right. You know, without spot and without wrinkle and without blemish. Now, you say, well, I don't know all about that. Well, you just love the Lord in your heart the best you can and honor him and serve him with all your heart, and he will reveal it to you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, but in order for us to get the people into that building, I'm not talking about the Phoenix Impact Center, and I'm not even talking about this building that we have, but I'm talking about the building that God is crafting. In order for us to get people into that building, to be a part of that family, if you will, we have to learn some things, or unlearn some things, or relearn some things. You know, because, you know, some of our methods may not be appropriate, you know, depending on who you are dealing with. So let's look at some attitudes, you know, which may be wrong. How do people who are in the light sometimes deal with people who are not in the light? I will remind you that many years ago, for about 3.5 to 4 years, when we first began the ministry over there in the other building, for those of you who are there, we used to bring the homeless to church every Sunday. And we were there every Saturday at the Central Arizona Shelter Systems CAS, downtown Phoenix. And I remember that some of those people came into the building, was stinking, and they had not taken a bath for many days, and so forth like that. And I know that some people, hopefully not anybody that's sitting here right now, but some people were offended because those people stank. And they came in and sat right next to us and so forth like that. You know, because these are souls for whom Christ died. Hallelujah. They may stink a little bit and so forth. So what? You know, God is not looking at the stinking clothes. He's looking at the soul. Praise ye the name of the Lord. You know, and I want to remind you that, you know, people didn't always have the right attitude when those kind of people came to church. I mean, we brought prostitutes to church, drug people and so forth to church. I mean, people who were in substance abuse and all of that. And many, many, many of them gave their lives to Christ. Praise the Lord. You know, and that's the beauty of it, you know. So, and we're going to be dealing with much more of that as we go into this new center. And we want to begin to let the people know how to prepare themselves. So here's the wrong attitude. The wrong attitude in dealing with people who are not in the light is for you to think you are better than them. Are you still with me, folks? The attitude that thinks you are better than somebody else. Now, Jesus talked about it, and there are many scriptures, and I'm going to read some scriptures to highlight this point. The first scripture I want to read is in the book of Luke chapter 18. In this story, Luke chapter 18, starting at verse 9, the Bible says that Jesus, he told that's Luke chapter 18, verse 9. Jesus told a parable to the intent that, you know, because there were some people that thought they were better than others, they despised others, and they thought they were righteous within themselves. Now, so let's turn with me to the book of Luke chapter 18, and I want to read from verse 9. There is a story here that Jesus began to tell, and it is very important. In this story, we are told, can we get that scripture up? Luke 18 and verse 9. He spoke a parable unto them which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. And why did he tell that story? Well, because he looked at some set of people that thought they were righteous, but despised others. And so he began to tell this parable. He said, two men went up to pray. Into the temple they went. And the one was a Pharisee, and the other was a publican. People, you know, people refer to those sinners and so forth that way. The Pharisee stood and prayed with himself, saying, God, I thank you. You know, that I'm not as other men are. I'm not even as this publican or this sinner over here. I fast twice a week. I do this and I do that. Well, you can bring it down to our time in the end time. Maybe the Pharisees, the modern day Pharisees, don't say it exactly like this. Maybe they say, well, I am the elect. I am the cream of the crop. I am this and that. You know, whatever title you give to yourself. But Jesus said, you know, and even one prophet in the Bible said, look, God can of these stones raise up children to Abraham. Don't begin to say to yourself, you are children of Abraham and all of this, and you don't keep the commandments of God. You know, that doesn't mean anything to God. You know, so he said, look, I'm not an extortioner. I am not this. I fast twice a week. You know, I know the Bible. I am this and that. You know, and, you know, I've got this and I've got that. And he bragged about himself. Now, the Lord did not say that he didn't do those things that he said he was doing. Of course he was doing them, you know. But look at his prayer. You know, I mean, he probably was strutting when he was praying. God, I thank you. You know, I am the elect. I am the bride. I am the this and the that. You know, and I am not like other people. And we have this and we know this and we know that and so forth. And these people are the bunch. They don't know anything. You know, and I don't, you know, this sinner over here and so forth like that. Well, you say, well, I don't do that. Well, you might be doing it too if when you see somebody come in the church with tattoos all over their body. Amen? Nose rings, rings in their belly button, you know, looking like a hippie, looking like, I mean, you can't even describe. And if you shy away because, hey, I don't know about that and so forth. Well, maybe you are saying exactly the same thing. It may be a little bit different, but it may be the same thing. Or maybe when you see somebody dressed like a prostitute and so forth like that, and they are looking, you know, what, you know, whatever way they may be looking, and they come into church, and you wouldn't have anything to do with that, and so forth, and you get offended. Well, maybe the prayer or the attitude is like this man's attitude because he thought he was better than the other guy. Well, the other guy, on the other hand, Jesus said this man would not even so much as lift up his head. But he strove upon his breast and said, God, have mercy upon me, for I'm a sinner. Amen. And Jesus said, look, this other man who called himself a sinner went home justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalts himself shall be abased. But those that abase themselves and humble themselves under the mighty hand of God, they will be exalted. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Now, of course, we don't condone sin and so forth. God condemns sin, but God never condemned the sinner. The sinner is condemned already because of their sin nature. That's right. You don't need to condemn them. They're already condemned. The Bible says whosoever does not receive Christ is already condemned because they did not believe on Christ. They are condemned already. So we don't need to condemn anybody. But the Lord has a way and a plan of how to bring many of them out. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And don't you ever look at somebody and say, you know, those people are not fit for the kingdom of God. How do you know? Praise God. God is the one that does the choosing. And God is the one that does the calling. And the Bible says, no one can come unto me except my Father draws him. And nobody can come to God. You know, so he's the one that does it. Praise the Lord. So that was an attitude that was wrong in this Pharisee and so forth. Well, this same attitude is depicted in the book of Isaiah chapter 65. I'm going to just read one verse there in verse 5. Isaiah 65 and verse 5. You know, God, you know, he denounced many things in the lives of the children of Israel. And he said, you know, among many things, those of you that say, stand by thyself, come not near me, because I'm holier than thou. Well, he said, well, you know, and that's what some people say, you know, say, hey, you know, I can't have anything to do with that and so forth. You know, well, look at what he said. He said, these are a smoke in my nose, fire that burneth all day long. God denounced that attitude, that holier than thou attitude. So let's take a look at that. So these, we're talking about the wrong attitude in looking at others who may not be clean-cut, polished, well-dressed, and so forth. Look at what the way that James even put it in the book of James chapter 2. And let's read James chapter 2. And I'm going to embellish it a little bit, you know, with my own thoughts. But here's the way that James chapter 2 puts it. In this chapter, he's talking about, you know, how we treat people that come to church. You might treat somebody that's nicely dressed, wearing a real nice suit, looking really sharp and looking clean, drives up with a real nice car and so forth. You might treat them really good. And then at the same time, you might look at the one that comes in raggedy old clothes, stinking and all of that. You say to the one that is nicely dressed and polished and looking smooth and everything, oh, sit down over here by this nice seat and so forth. And then the other one, you cast him out. Sit down under my footstool. Get in the corner there and so forth. You know, have no regard for them and so forth. And James said, well, he condemns it. Listen to what he said. My brethren, James chapter 2, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the God of glory, with respect of persons. Don't do it with respect of persons. Treat everybody with the same kindness. For if there come unto you your assembly a man with a gold ring, goodly apparel, and all of this and so forth, you know, and the other poor man comes, and then you look at the one that has the nice clothes, you put him up in a good place, and you said to the other one, you know, sit on my footstool. Verse 4, are ye not then partial in yourselves, and are ye not become judges of evil thoughts? You know, hearken, my brethren, had not God chosen the poor of this world, the rich in faith, heirs of the kingdom, which he had promised to them, you know, that love him? Folks, God takes the things that are rejected of men. There's a scripture and there's a sermon on our website that says, rejected of men, but chosen of God. The things that you think are worthless, or people that we may despise or put down, well, God may have a plan for them. Amen. Amen, folks. And that is why we must reach out to everybody with the love of Christ and demonstrate open arms, you know, to everybody, no matter what they look like or even no matter what they dress like or their appearance, you know, and so forth like that when they come to church. Now, I remember a few months ago in our marriage workshop, we were talking about this. And we said, look, well, what happens? Well, you know our stand here in the church. We believe that marriage is between a man and a woman. Amen? Yes. Praise the Lord. Regardless of what the Supreme Court or anybody says, we've already preached that right here on this platform. We stand for that. Amen. Praise the Lord. So we talked about that in the marriage workshop. Well, what happens if a gay couple would come into this workshop? What you going to do? Well, you know, and if they're minding their own business and sitting down, behaving nice like everybody else, you know, and listening to the word, maybe God will touch their heart. We're not going to be bothered with that. But if they start, you know, getting out of line, you know, then we're going to deal with that. Amen. Praise the Lord. So what I mean by getting out of line, you know, they don't have, you know, holding hands, kissing, and do all of these things in the church just to show that they are gay and all that. We won't put up with that. But if they want to come in and sit down just like everybody else, you know, then, you know, you can hear the word of God. Now, Because we are talking about, you know, having an attitude that receives everybody, you know, make no mistake about it, that doesn't make us to not stand for our rights. Amen. Well, I'm not going to be a pushover to anybody or anything. You know, we love everybody. And so I'll tell you a little story. It might be funny. But when we were in the old building, one guy comes in one day, you know, and he paraded himself like a prophet. So he's a prophet and so forth. I said, well, I love prophets, you know. And then he goes around trying to prophesy to the people in the congregation and so forth. So I called him after service. I said, hey, you know, we don't do that in our church. You want to have prophecy, you give your prophecy. The Bible says, if any man has a prophecy, let him prophesy and let others judge. Hallelujah. I don't want nobody going around prophesying something to somebody behind my back. I don't know what they're telling them. And so for pretty soon, they're going to tell you to bring all your money. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, I don't care that you give your money to them. I mean, we don't talk about money. It's not because I want the money for myself. You know that. We don't talk about the money here. But, so I called him up, and he said, well, he says, how dare you talk to me? He said, look, I'm a prophet, and you are just a pastor. And that puts me above you. And he said, when I come to your church, I'm a prophet. You are just a pastor. You need to sit down and let me talk. Well, I can do whatever I want. I said, not at my church, folk. I said, bro, you know, you can come in. Next time you come in, you behave yourself. You sit down real nice. We love everybody and so forth. And I said, well, you know, you sit down real nice. You know, there's no problem. But if you cut up or you do any of these things that we don't appreciate and we warned you and you didn't hear, I'll have you arrested. He didn't think I was serious. I said, I will have you arrested. Praise the Lord. I said, because, you know, we don't do that. You know, you can't come into the house and be doing this and that. And so forth. You're welcome to come, but you must behave yourself in the house of God. For the Bible says the house of God is a pillar and ground of the truth. And you must know how to be. There's church and conduct and order in the church. You must behave yourself. So what I'm saying is this. Just because, of course, you know, that run him off when I told him I'll have you arrested. He never showed up again after that. Praise the Lord. But he had the wrong spirit anyhow. How many of you know that that's the wrong spirit? It's the wrong spirit for you to think I'm a prophet, therefore you are a pastor, you are beneath me. Whoever told him that? Which scripture did he see that from? I don't understand that anyway. So, of course, he was no prophet at all, you know. He was a hireling, you know, goes around and so forth. And they kicked him out of many churches. And he was on the street. He didn't have a church. And you go to the next church, and probably they kick him out too, you know. So anyway, why did I say that? So just to let you know that, look, just because we love everybody and so forth, we're still going to maintain order in the church. Praise the Lord. Now, if there's a situation that you can't deal with, you let those of us who are trained and understand how to deal with it, and we'll deal with it. Sometimes people get out of hands and they get unruly and so forth, and we'll deal with that. But generally, we are speaking about an attitude of being receptive to people. You know, receiving everybody in the goodness and the love of God. Amen. There's a story here in the book of Luke chapter 15. Some people popularly call this story the story of the prodigal son. So let's look at it. It's a long text from Luke chapter 15 from about verse 11 through about verse 32. It talks about the story of the prodigal son. I'm not going to read it. I'm just going to paraphrase it to you. A man had two sons, Jesus said. He said, well, one day, the younger of the two sons came to the dad and said, look, divide unto me the portion of goods that fall unto me. I don't give my inheritance to me right now. I don't want to wait until you die. You know, the will and so forth. I want mine right now. So, you know, the father said, all right. He tried to talk him out of it. Well, you know, that's my part of the story. You know, tried to talk him out of it, but he wouldn't. So, you know, gave it to him and so forth. So he went out to Sin City. Well, I don't know what Sin City might be here in our days. Maybe Las Vegas, maybe some other place. I don't know. But he went out and, you know, riotous living and so forth, harlots and all kinds of things. Wasted his substance and did everything. In the meantime, well, this is my embellishment of the story. In the meantime, the father, he probably asked the brother, hey, have you talked to your brother? The older brother. Have you talked to your younger brother lately? And he said, who? Praise the Lord. Who? You know, and then, you know, every day the father asks, he said, who? I don't care. You know, that's his, you know, whatever. And so maybe one day, you know, just making the story funny. So maybe one day, the father began to hear that there is, you know, famine in the land over where he thought his son was and so forth. And he probably calls the older brother and say, hey, you know, there's some bad things happening where your brother went. Maybe we ought to go check it out. You know, I say, hey. And the older brother probably said, hey, he got what he deserved. You know, he got what he got coming. He should have stayed here and so forth. You know, and he began to get this, you know, attitude and so forth like that. So, you know, along went the story. Well, that was my part of the story. So along went the story, the father is always thinking, well, you know, there's three characters in this story. The prodigal son himself, the elder brother, and the father. And I want to talk about that elder brother, his attitude. So the father is always looking out, thinking that and hoping and believing that his son is coming home. Praise the Lord. So one day when his son started coming home, of course, a lot of bad things happened to the man. You know the story. And finally, you know, he wised up. One day he came to his senses. And I want to tell you something, folks. The people that you see out there right now that are in Sin City and Sin World and everything like that, looking like this prodigal son and everything, one day they might come to their senses. Hallelujah. And it might be just that little seed that you might sow. And it might be the seed that somebody else has sown and you go in and cash in on it. Praise the Lord. Because one man sows, another man waters, but God gives the increase. And one day, God is going to give the increase. Because the word of God will never fall to the ground and die. When you preach the gospel to somebody, I don't care what they look like right now. They may look like that devil. Hallelujah. You preach that word of God and you live it. God will watch over his word. Hallelujah. And I tell you something too. God, you know, you can never save the devil. I understand that. But God has many, many people out there and so forth. You know, they may not look like you and so forth, you know, and all that. But, you know, he's got millions. Even some people come out of great tribulation. They're like the sands of the sea, you know. They came in late and so forth. Maybe they didn't, you know, believe the whole word of God and all of that. And they go through grip. But God could bring them out anyhow. He's got all these ways of bringing people out. So you never know. You know, so while this prodigal son was wasting away, his older brother, who had the wrong attitude, gave up on him. Probably thought he'll never amount to anything. He's down there in Sin City and doing all of these things. So one day, this man comes to his senses. He comes home. I will return to my father. Hallelujah. And I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. Make me like even one of your hired servants. And whatever you want to do, I want to come back home. And as soon as he was a long way off, because the father was always on the lookout for him. Amen. That's like our heavenly father. He's always beckoning to the people. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Come unto me, I'll give you rest. Hallelujah. They may be out there in the same world, but God is calling them. Come on to me. Hallelujah. And we should be his voice. We should be his hands and his feet. Telling the people, come on to the Lord. Be ye reconciled unto your God. Hallelujah. Praise God. They may not believe you. They may laugh or whatever and so forth. But you don't know that next day they won't be saved. Because you never know that. You know, I don't think that every one of you that's here, you know, believe the gospel the first time you heard it. Amen? That's right. You know, I mean, look at Paul in the Bible. He was even persecuting and even getting commandments to kill the saints and do all of these things and so forth. Well, one day the light of destiny struck him. Hallelujah. And he was a changed man. And he done more in that Bible than anybody else. You know, but if you look at his beginning only and you close the book, you know, before he met the light on the road to Damascus, you would have written him off. But God, he knows what he's doing. Praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. So this boy comes home, and his father is rejoicing, you know, and all that. You know, God, you know, when a sinner comes home, as far as God is concerned, you know, they come home. Praise the Lord. They are home now. Forget what he did in Sin City. My son is home. Hallelujah. Bring forth the fatted cow. Put the ring on his finger. Put the clothing on. I mean, make rejoicing. Let's make a rejoicing. And the older brother, he heard of it. He said, what's all this ruckus and so forth that's going on? He said, well, your younger brother came home. And he said, well, not my brother, but this your son. Wasted away your substance and so forth. Why didn't you do anything for me and so forth while I was here? He had a wrong attitude. He did not rejoice when he saw a sinner coming home. Are you still with me, folks? Now, we don't want that to be our attitude. Hallelujah. Anytime somebody steps in into the building, they are closer to the kingdom of God. Amen. Hallelujah. They have an opportunity to be impacted by the love of Christ. And as a matter of fact, we are praying that God will show up in the new center. Amen.
Amen.
And that people, when they come in, they will be struck by the anointing of God. And they will be changed, and their life will never be the same. Praise the Lord. But you got to give them a chance to come in. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, so the elder brother, he had a wrong attitude. He needed an attitude adjustment, and the father set him straight. And he told him, this your brother. Yes, he is your brother too. Hallelujah. He was lost, but now he's found. He was blind, but now he can see. He went away, but now he has come home. And therefore, I am going to rejoice. And you better rejoice with us or whatever. Praise the Lord. You know, so that was one, you know, guy that had a chip on his shoulder. And he really wasn't happy about anybody else getting saved. Because he was felt holier and better than thou. I've never done anything wrong. I served you all the days of my life. You know, I was here and you never gave me even a little kid for my friends. And this one that wasted your substance and so on. Isn't that just like the people today? The people of God in the church. You know, not this church exactly, but in the church in general. You know, they're looking at other people in the world and so forth. And they never served the Lord, but they are getting ahead in life. What about me? And so forth. Never mind about that. You serve the Lord with all your heart. Amen. Praise the Lord. And when they do come home, you rejoice because God is rejoicing and the angels of God are rejoicing. So that was a wrong attitude, you know, and so forth. But let's talk about the right attitude. Let's talk about the right attitude. I don't want to spend the whole time talking about the wrong attitude. You've seen the wrong attitude, but now let's talk about the right attitude. This is the right attitude. First, let me break it down. We need to, first of all, understand what our mission is. And some people will be coming to church here maybe for some time. Maybe you don't even know what our mission is. Well, it's very simple. You can check it out also on the website. But it is very simple. Jesus said it himself in John chapter 4 and verse 34. He said, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me, that's my Father, and to finish his work. Praise the Lord. And that's the mission that God gave us, is finish the work. Do the will of him that sent us, not what people think. You know, I mean, at this point in time, you know, Paul said, if I yet, you know, worry about what people think about me and so forth, I should not be the servant of Christ. You know, so it's not about what people think and so forth. We're going to do what God sent us to do. Hallelujah. And we thank God that God has given us wonderful people in this ministry, supporting the ministry, I mean, and doing everything we can for the kingdom of God. Remember, it is for the kingdom of God. Amen. You're not doing it for me. You're not doing it for somebody else. It's for the kingdom of God. Praise the Lord. Now, Jesus, by the Spirit of God, he told us something when we began. He gave us this scripture in Job chapter 8 and verse 7. Point blank. He gave it to us. And you may have heard me even preach about it. One time I preached a message called Small Beginnings and Greater Endings. You can check it up on the website. And it was based on that scripture in the book of Job, chapter 8 and verse 7, which says, though thy beginnings were small, yet thy latter end should greatly increase. And I tell you something, folks, God has done it, literally speaking, in the physical. Amen? I mean, you know, just look at where we started and where we are now and where God is taking us. You know, so he has literally done this in the physical. Now we are looking for him to do it in the spiritual. Amen. Amen, folks. You know, if we won 100 people to Christ before, we want to win 10,000 souls to Christ now. Amen. We want the latter end to be greatly increased. Hallelujah. Because there is still plenty of room in his house. And that room must be filled. Praise ye the name of the Lord. You say, well, it must be filled. Absolutely. In the book of Luke, chapter 14, you know, and I told that story when I preached on the third pool and the last call. You know, God finally said, look, you know, after the first and the second and the final one, he said, go out to the byways and the hedges. Hallelujah. Turn with me to Luke 14, and let me read verses 21 to 23. After all was said and done, and the house was still full because some people rejected the call, God finally said, you know, it's a parable. you know, the kingdom of God is like unto this and so on. And so it's a parable. So we know it's representing what God said. So he said to that servant, he said, look, I've done all of these things, you know, and then he told him that, well, go out quickly to the streets and to the lanes of the city. You know, the streets, that's like people that are on the streets. That's like the homeless. That's like the people that are on drugs and all of these people and so forth. Not the regular people that come to church. Not the people that would dress up on Sunday and go to church and so forth like that. And people that, you know, are you know, disoriented and displaced and all of that and so on. You know, say, bring them in. And so the whole, the blind, everybody. And he did all of that. And then he said, well, there's still room. And he said, okay, here's what they are going to do. Go out to the hedges. Hallelujah. And compel them to come in. So that my house may be filled. And we are believing that there is going to be a move of the Spirit. Hallelujah. In fact, before we open the meeting, we're going to have a prayer conference before we open the new building. That we're going to be inviting all our people to come in and lay before the Lord for hours and hours. And just believe the Lord for a great outpouring to bring in souls. Hallelujah. Because that's what it's all about, folks. It's bringing souls into the kingdom of God. Amen. Now, compel them in. So, that's the vision. And we have tried this vision every which way we knew. We tried the church in the mall. You may remember, some of you who started with us back in 2005. We took the church to the mall. We've tried the praise at the park. We took to the streets and the parks and parking lots like Kmart and all of these things. We take the gospel there. We even considered taking the gospel to the swap meet. We tried that several times. We didn't quite get in there. You know, we've tried to do everything. We've gone to the homeless shelter and all of these things and so forth, you know. And most of the time, we found out that there are some people that won't come to church. So we're thinking, well, we got to take gospel to them. So we tried that a few different ways. You know, we weren't quite experts at it, but we're learning. But God is now giving us an opportunity to do something, a unique opportunity here. Praise the Lord. God has given us this new impact center that is being crafted like a community center that allow people to come in that would not normally go to church. Praise the Lord. And when they come in, then we are going to meet them with the love of Christ and the gospel. Amen. Now, when they do come in, though, what's going to be your reaction? You know, we've been over there during the construction and so forth. And, you know, sometimes these people walk off the street. You know, there's a homeless. There's a place. It's not really a homeless shelter. It's a city retention park, you know, right across from us. You know, but there's a lot of homeless people there. They're doing drugs. They're doing this. Police are having trouble with that and so forth. By the grace of God, we want to clean that all up. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. We're going to clean that up. Amen. Hallelujah. Because that's one of the reasons why God is sending us to that place. We'll clean all that up and get those people saved and get them in the house of God. Amen. Amen. These are people for whom Christ died. Hallelujah. You know, so, I mean, if you're uncomfortable with that kind of thing, well, then this message is for you. You need an attitude adjustment. You know, Jesus, he was always with the sinners and so forth, but he did not partake of their sins. Just because you mingle and so forth and around the people, doesn't mean that you have to engage in their ways. There's a separation there. You know, Jesus, you know, even when they brought the woman caught in the middle of adultery to him, you know, he just wrote with his finger on the ground as if he didn't hear them. Finally, when they all left, you know, he said, well, anybody condemn you? He said, well, no. He said, okay, fine. Neither do I condemn you, but go and sin no more. That's always the message, folks. When we receive people into the love of Christ, we don't condemn them and so forth, but they need to repent and they must be born again. They can't just shake our hand and say everything's hunky-dory. We've preached that so many times here. People must repent and be born again by the light, the incorruptible seed of the word of God. Amen. And God, by the power of God, is able to do that. You know, especially when the power of the Lord is present to heal. Amen. There is something that people cannot deny. People cannot deny the power of miracles. Amen, folks. You know, even the Pharisees in those days said, look, that a notable miracle has been done. We cannot deny it. They could not deny it. A notable miracle was done. And they said, we can't deny this. You know, and we've seen places where one miracle touched the lives of so many people. Hallelujah. One miracle. I was sharing with some folks yesterday. We took a tour that came to the new Impact Center, you know, And I was sharing a testimony how one miracle changed so many lives. You know, so we are believing that, you know, our ministry and our gospel in reaching people, which it has always been, will be with the full demonstration of the Holy Ghost and power. Amen. Because any ministration that is not with the Holy Ghost and power, I don't know what that is and so forth. The real gospel of God is full of the Holy Ghost and full of power. And one miracle can touch so many lives. You know, and so forth like that. I remember when I gave this testimony yesterday to some friends. I said, look, in 2000, we went down to the Philippines and we were there and so forth. One lady came there one night with an advanced stage of cancer, possibly stage 4 or whatever. I don't know. You know. Prayed for her that night, never saw her again. It was probably the last night or so of the crusade. She never came back because we were closing out. 2 years later, I received an email from her. I said, Pastor Yaro, you may not remember me, but I'm Sister Anna, this and that and so forth. And as soon as she began to say, I remember. And she said, well, you prayed for me that night. I had this thing with cancer and all of that. And she gave the testimony and how the Lord healed her instantly. How many of you say praise the Lord to that? That's right. You ought to shout the victory of the Lord when you hear his miracles. Amen. Well, some people say, well, that was in 2005. Well, you know, my answer to that is this. Every miracle that you are reading that Jesus did here in the Bible was thousands of years ago. And we are reading them and still shouting about them today. Hallelujah. So you ought to shout when you hear testimony of 2008. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's even more recent than the one that Jesus did 2,000 years ago. Praise the Lord. So anyway, so she, they're from a Muslim region, a Muslim family and everything like that. One miracle like that. 9 souls out of her family were saved because of that one miracle. Not only that, almost an entire village, she lived in a little village, everybody knew her and so forth. Almost the entire village gave their life to Christ because of that one miracle. Now, this testimony is on our website, so you can go and look for it. Now, and not only that, they started a church in their house. Praise the Lord. She became an evangelist. She started a church, and her testimony was simply, I used to have this cancer, and everybody knew her, you know, but now I'm healed. This same Jesus that healed me, he can save you. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, that's a power. That's how you mingle the power of God with salvation messages. You don't just preach, you know, real lukewarm salvation message that has no power. You know, you mingle with the demonstration of the Holy Ghost and power. They come in like that and so forth. The Holy Ghost reveals something in their life. I remember one day in the old building, we brought some people to church, you know, from the homeless shelter and so forth. And this young lady was sitting in the back there, and I walked over to her and said, you know, how are you doing and so forth. She said, well, you know, Sandra, you know, I began to talk to her a little bit, you know, and then I said, what's your name? And then she gave me the name. And then I said, well, it sounded like a Nigerian name. She, you know, she's not Nigerian and so forth, but you know, the name, you know, I said, what's your last name? And she said it. I said, well, I don't know. You know, write it down for me. So when she wrote it, I actually discovered it was a Nigerian name, but she didn't know how to pronounce it. And I said, well, how'd you get this name? She said, well, my father. Where is he now? I don't know. I never seen him, and all so forth. And she began to talk, you know, and I said, well, well, do you believe that? And I started to speak to her. And as I started to speak to her, the Holy Ghost revealed something to me. And I spoke to her about something that was going on in her life, what she was doing and so forth like that. She started to cry, you know. She wasn't dressed like a prostitute or anything. She was dressed real nice. You know, well, maybe not real nice, but she was dressed decently and so forth. But Holy Ghost revealed that she was a prostitute and all these things that she was doing and so forth. And I began to tell her, and I said, look, you know, Jesus Christ can make you whole. Set you free from all of that. She began to cry and so forth. And to cut a long story short, she gave her life to Christ. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Why? Because the word of God came and revealed the secret of her heart and so forth like that. You know, so when you combine the gifts of the Spirit, you know, with the love of Christ, you know, you can win a dying world to Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. And that's what we intend to do by the power of God and by the grace of God. Praise ye the name of the Lord. You know, so now God has given us a great opportunity to do this. The place where we are going that we have wanted to go for many years, we've always wanted to be in Central Phoenix where we can impact more lives for Christ. God has now given us an opportunity to do that. And beginning in December, by the grace of God, our ministry will be moving over there. Hallelujah. We're going to be right in the central corridor, the Camelback corridor right there. And there's no better place to be. It's right central Phoenix. And God began to show us that this was the place he wanted us to be. Because the first day we went over there to look at the property and so forth, we saw a lot of homeless people. We were there, and then they come in and bang on the door. You know, open the door, want to take a shower. All these things, you know. And then, you know, we had a lot, you know. Of course, we are going to, nobody should be scared about that. We are making the place secure for our families. Amen. We put up a fence, which was not there before, and it's going to be really nice. It's going to be secure and all of that. So don't worry about that. You don't need to be afraid, you know. But we're going to let them come in the house and come in the building and get some dose of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. And I tell you something, folks. When they do come in, what are you going to do? So this is my challenge to us today. Back to where I started at the beginning. So if somebody comes in, tattooed all over, smells like he's been smoking pot or whatever for the last hours, and looks disoriented and his eyes bloodshot and everything and so on, he couldn't even knew his left from his right hand, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? If you don't know what you're going to do, you need the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen, people. That's right. You need the power of God in your life, you know, so that you can face those kind of situations. And you need some training. And by the grace of God, we're going to be helping people to get their minds prepared. And this is an introductory thing to help us get our minds prepared. That, look, church is not always about our own comfort zone, about the way we like. You know, we see our friends in church every day, and that's all good. You know, and when we finish here, listen, you know, when we finish here at church, you know, every week we do this. You know, we're finished. You're talking to your friends. I'm talking to my friends. And everybody's talking to their friends. And it's all great. You know, we have this little social thing after church. And that's wonderful. You know, that's part of going to church. So that's good. You know, but hey, what about those people that have no friends? Amen, folks? That's right. What about people that have no friends? You know, I remember when we were doing the hospital ministry and so forth. And Pastor Emmanuel is still doing it. You know, when we were doing this, we were going everywhere. And one of the things that challenged me to do that ministry was because I realized that a lot of people have no friends that are in the hospital, the people that are not visiting them. You know, I was hospitalized in 2001. Some of you may know the story. And then, you know, I never knew what it meant really to be in hospital until then. And then, so finally I learned, you know, and we went back and we started visiting these people week after week and week after week. And many times, the greatest thing that happened to people for days was when we stepped into their room. Because they had not had, so some of them that were there had no visitors, no family, nobody. They were just there. You know, and somebody would step in and say, we'd step in and say, hey, you know, I'm a chaplain. What can I do for you today? You know, and they would just brighten their day and say, can I pray for you? Can I pray with you? Can I talk to you about Christ and so on? You know, and people receive the love of Christ, you know, just by, you know, your touch, your feeling, your being there and so forth like that with them. And, you know, so many lives were changed. Folks, we have an opportunity in this life to do some good. Amen. Amen, folks. And if you have no compassion for souls, let me give you a remedy today. Listen to me right now. It's one of the punchlines of this. I didn't write it down, but it's just coming to my head. If you don't have any compassion for souls, you need to turn off the television. Hello, folks. Get off those soap opera or whatever it is you are watching. Get off those nonsense TV. Get off of those things and get in your closet and get a hold of God. Get a jug of water, some crackers, or go up to the mountain and get a hold of God and ask for God to give you some compassion. Amen. Amen. Amen, folks. Because at the end of the day, when you stand before the Lord, God's going to say, what did you do with the gift and the talent that I gave you? You know, and you say, well, you know, this and that and so forth. Well, you know, but my talent was only one. I mean, I was not a pastor and I was not this and so forth. So I buried my talent. So I didn't do anything with it. I mean, look at that brother. You made him a pastor. Look at that one. You made him a prophet. And look at that one. You made him this and that. Look at those people that are on television. They are preaching and so forth. You know, so, well, you know, I'm nothing. I'm nobody and so forth. So I'm going to do nothing. And the Lord's going to say, well, thou wicked servant, that's not going to be our portion in Jesus' name. Take that gift from him, give it to somebody else. Now, you don't want that to be your portion. What we want to hear is, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. That is what we want to hear. And you can start getting some practice. This week, we want you to get some practice. You know, we have this thing, this ministry called Soul Winners Action Team, SWAT Team. We want you to get involved. We want to throw out a SWAT challenge. I threw this out many years ago and so forth. Throw out a SWAT challenge, you know, by next week. Let's Come back to church and tell us how many people you witnessed to during the week. Get some experience. Get some practice. Talk to somebody about Christ. Talk to your neighbor. Talk to your fellow student. Talk to somebody at work about Christ. Hallelujah. Stand up and be counted. Amen. You know, don't just blend into the nobodies. You know, be counted for Christ. Amen. You know, we've talked about stealth Christianity before. You know, where we don't want anybody to know that we are, you know, believer and so forth. That's not what we're talking about. You know, we want to let people know that we are believers. But we're showing the love of Christ. And we are impacting their lives. And when somebody says, you know, why is it that, you know, your life, you know, why are you always smiling? Why do you always have joy? Well, because the Lord, he made a change in my life. Amen. You know, and I've noticed here in this country, this is one of the greatest places that you can do a personal witness, because you meet a total stranger at a gas station or anywhere and so forth, and they'll strike up a conversation with you out of the blues. They'll tell you their life's history in 1 minute. They'll tell you their brother is in hospital, their sister is this, a perfect total stranger. Never met you before. They'll tell you about the economy and this and that and so forth. And always a good opportunity to put in a word for the Lord. Amen. Always look for that opportunity. There's a song that says, make me a channel of blessing today. And every one of us should be praying to be a channel of blessing. Hallelujah. But I tell you something, folks. You can't really give what you don't have. First of all, you got to make sure that you have this hope that is an anchor in your soul. You've got to know that you have it. You know, when the whole world is running helter-skelter, you cannot be running helter-skelter with the world. Amen? Amen, folks? Because the Bible says when everybody else says everything is down, you will say there is a lifting up. Hallelujah. There's a lifting up in your life. You know, you encourage, you be a son of encouragement. Your life also is lifted up. You know, your head is lifted up. You know, you're not going to be bowed down, let the devil run over you and so forth like that. You know, so we want to make sure. That's why we preach all those messages, to make sure that people are solid in their faith and solid in their walk with God. And when you have your solid foundation, your anchor that reaches beyond the veil and into the veil, and when you have that, then you can know how you can spend, you know, time and share the same life that is in you with others. Praise the Lord. And if you have that light in you, you must share that light. The Bible says that, you know, we are like a city that's on a hill. It cannot be hid. You are like a candlelight that you light. You don't put it under the bushel. You have to put it up so that it can give light to everybody. You know, and I noticed that in this room, you look around. We are the light bulbs. They are up on top. They're not underneath the chair. Amen? Praise the Lord. Nobody puts a light bulb underneath the seat. You put a light bulb up so it gives light to everybody. That's the same way that our lives must be. Let's stand to our feet here this morning. Praise the Lord. Now, if you understand that, I want you to give the Lord a hand clap here this morning. Praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. God wants us to be the light. And we must have an attitude adjustment to knowing how we should respond to people that are not exactly in the light. Hallelujah. There's a song that says, you know, this star shine down upon me. Let your love shine through me in the dark. You know, we want to pray today, and I'm going to lead this short prayer segment to ask for the grace of God. And I've been spending about 3 days praying about this. And I was asking Lord, I said, Lord, I remember when we started this ministry, Pastor Emmanuel, Pastor Peter, and myself, we spent days in prayer, just praying for one thing. I said, Lord, give us a passion for souls. Because we have been in this country so long, and, you know, you forget, you know, what you should be doing. And I've been spending the last 3 days in prayer and so forth like that. Taking some time out, fasting and praying, and just asking the Lord, I want you, Lord, to put a passion upon my heart. And I want you, Lord, to put a passion upon the people of God to understand how important it is that our lives shine for Christ. Amen. And enable us. Paul said, I'm a wise master builder. You know, I know how to win as many people as I can for the Lord. I know how to do it. Well, do you? Do you know how to win people for Christ? Do you know how to close the deal? Hallelujah. And I believe by the grace of God, there have been lessons taught. You can go back and look on the website for those kind of things. You know, there are many messages there. And you can, you know, if you are interested in, you know, how to reach people for Christ, what to do and so forth, we'll be conducting some training and some classes and so forth. And we want to encourage people to get involved. Praise the Lord. Get involved. Get out of your comfort zone, folks. Come out on Saturday morning when we have evangelism. When we're going to the neighborhood, come out and join in. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. That is what it says by bearing his reproach outside the gate. That's the scripture we started with in Hebrews 13 and 13. Take the reproach of Christ beyond your comfort zone. Get out of your bed early on Saturday morning or whatever, you know, and so forth. Give up an hour of television or whatever it is that you normally do in there and go out and try to get a soul for Christ. Praise the Lord. And God will reward your labor of love. Amen. The Bible says, he that goeth forth with weeping, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again. That's doubtless. Come again with rejoicing, bringing in his sheaves. Praise the Lord. I'm going to make this prayer right now. If you have forgotten what it means to be a soul winner, or if you need the Lord to help you, say, Lord, make me a soul winner today. I want to be a soul winner. I want compassion for souls. You know, I don't want to be a holier than thou. I want to recognize that God sent Jesus Christ to die for everybody just like me. And every chance I get, Lord, I want you to help me to witness and be a light to somebody. If that's you in here this morning, I've already prayed for you before today. But I'm going to give you a chance. Also, right now, you come here and join me in prayer. I want you to step forward boldly and say, I want to be a soul winner. I want to be somebody that will be used by the Lord in this ministry to win souls for Christ. And I have not done enough. I have been, whatever it is, you know, I have not done my duty in the Lord and so forth. I'll be the first person to tell you, I've not done enough for the Lord. But I want your compassion. And I'm going to be praying for compassion here today. I tell you something, folks. Any kind of ministration that we do without compassion, we've already preached about that. I think Pastor Jesus preached about that one time. You know, anything we preach in, you know, preach to people, try to do miracles and so forth without compassion, it really doesn't go very long or very far, you know. But when we have that compassion in our hearts, you know, when the bowels of mercy begin to move within you, when you see people that are wallowing in sin and languishing in darkness and so forth, and these are people for whom Christ died, you know, when you see how the devil playing ping pong with people's lives, and these are people for whom Christ died, and these are people that should be in the kingdom of God that are out on the streets. And we're going to do everything we can. We can't save everybody, but God knows who will be saved and who won't be saved. I don't know that, and you don't either. Amen. Now, so those of you who are here, I want you to come out here in the center, and I'm going to pray with you. You say, Lord, I want compassion in my heart. I want to be more outspoken for the Lord. I want my life to be radiant with the love of God. I want to reach out to people. I want God to use me more in soul winning. I'm going to pray that prayer. That's a good prayer. That's a good prayer this morning. I guarantee you, if anybody wanted the Lord to bless them with $10,000, you know, this place would be filled. But, you know, one time Solomon, he said, God asked him, ask anything. And he said, I want wisdom. I want you to help me to lead this, your great people. So when you pray prayers that are close to God's heart, you know, those are the things that God wants to do. And God will do even more for you. And you say, well, you may already be a soul winner. God may already have been using you and so forth. But I tell you what, we've never done anything close to what we should have done. There have been so many areas where we should have been lacking, you know, that which we haven't done. So I tell you something, folks. All of us need this prayer. I'm going to come down here and join with the people that are here. And we're going to pray and ask the Lord. I want those of you who are here with me, just lift up your hands before the Lord. And let us ask God to send a spirit of compassion upon our hearts, to give us an understanding of the love of Christ that is shed abundantly in our hearts, so that we may know how to share it with others. To give us that hope, to make us understand the hope that is within us, so that we may always have a reason to give to somebody else. The Bible says, let your speech be always with grace, be seasoned with salt, to know to answer for the reason of the hope that is in with you. Lord, we pray that you will help us here this morning, as many as are standing here with their hands stretched out before you, Lord, asking that you will impart upon us the spirit of grace and the spirit of understanding and the spirit of compassion, that we may understand the law of Christ, that you may teach us, Lord, that, you know, we should be able to take the reproach of Christ outside the box, outside the norm of things, to reach out to people that would otherwise nobody else would reach to, that you will be an instrument in your hands, in the mighty name of Jesus, to use us for Christ, in Jesus' mighty name. And I'm going to read a promise to us right now. And I want everybody in the ministry, the pastors especially, you listen to this promise. The Lord gave me this morning to read to us. And you will remember the promise of Job 8 and 7. And I was praying this morning, and he gave me this. And I am going to read it to us as a confirmation. This is in the book of Jeremiah. I will be closing with this verse, Jeremiah chapter 30 and verse 19. And this is for everybody that's in the church. Listen to this. Jeremiah chapter 30 and verse 19. And out of them shall proceed thanksgiving. Can you say amen? Amen. And the voice of them that make merry. And I will multiply them. And they shall not be few. I will also glorify them. And they shall not be small. Praise the Lord. I was sitting there in my study this morning. I was thinking about Job 8 and 7. And there's a song I've been singing. You know, it says, you know, thank you, Lord, for where you started. Thank you, Lord, for where you brought us to. And thank you, Lord, for where you're taking us. The song is in Yoruba. And I've been singing that the whole week. And I was thinking that about this morning. And the Lord took me to this scripture and said, well, you know, I said that then, but here is my promise. Hallelujah. You shall not be small. And I will glorify the place of my glory. Hallelujah. And you shall not be few. You know, you say, well, my lands. Was the Lord really going to do that? Absolutely, because he promised it. And we see that he's already done it in the physical, because he's already taken us from small places in the physical to bigger places in the physical. So we're expecting him to do it also in the spiritual. Let's lift up our hands and thank the Lord for his grace and for his mercy. Thank you, Lord, for your promise. The promise of God says you will not be few. The promise of God says, you know, you will not be small. But the Lord says, I will glorify myself in them, and they shall not be few. Can you say amen? And he also said, I have chosen you. You have not chosen me, but I have called you that you should go forth and bear much fruit, and that your fruit should remain. Hallelujah. We're not going to bear fruit anymore that will be torn down by the caterpillar, the cankerworm, and the locust, and the palmerworm. But our fruit is going to remain in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, we give you all the praise. We thank you. Thank you, Lord, for putting upon us the spirit of grace and this mantle of compassion to go out and witness and to be a light to everybody. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said amen. Amen. Put your hands together for the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. You may go back to your seats. I'm going to ask the praise team to come back up, if you would, please.